We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
Scott Jennings is back with us tonight. You have loved him on CNN when he's keeping people sane. CNN political contributor, former special assistant to President Bush and Senator McConnell. He has Run Switch PR in Louisville. How are you, Jennings? Haven't talked to you in a while.
Mr. Reardon, good to be with you. Thanks for having me on tonight. We're freezing our butts off down here in Louisville, but ready for Christmas nonetheless.
It is cold here as well, but I'm sure you guys are going to pop up to near 70 later in the week as well.
Yeah, we're getting warmer in a couple of days.
Hey, by the way, what is the, because we talked about this a little bit here, but obviously it's a much bigger story in Louisville, and Joe Arnold, our mutual friend, and I, and you were on this text string yesterday. Any thoughts in just what people are saying about Medina Spirit in Louisville?
Oh, people are shocked. I mean, obviously the, you know, winner of the Kentucky Derby, you know, takes on a lot of attention and ongoing attention. People tend to follow these horses and see where they wind up. And so, I mean, just general shock in the community. And of course, you know, when you layer on top of it, the news that has been following around Bob Baffert,
right,
over the last, you know, several months, it's a great industry, and it is a great, you know, so many good people in it, and you hate to see bad things happen to the animals or the people who were involved in it. And so I would just say general shock and dismay over something like this. A beautiful horse.
It's just sad because Santa Anita has had so many mysterious problems with these animals over the last couple of years, and some of it is very baffling. All right, let's talk politics here, Scott, because the Wall Street Journal, as a $38 a month subscriber, I realize this, I was going through some of my bills today, they have a new poll. Do you know the details of how they're doing this poll? They kind of broke away a little bit from another group, didn't they?
Yeah, they've got the pollster for Joe Biden and for Donald Trump from the 2020 campaign. Both guys I know, actually, excellent pollsters doing their survey now. I think it's smart for them to do a DNR together, and I think it makes people trust the results even more. So I take what they say to the bank, and if you do take it to the bank as I do, it ain't looking good for Joe Biden.
No, sure. The numbers, I mean, were they even a little bit more stark than you expected here? So the approval rating is 41%, disapproved 57%, strongly disapproved 46%. And among undecided voters, the numbers are 63% disapproved. So these, you know, I think what you're hearing from some members of the White House, I heard this, I played this soundbite yesterday. Look, these are, I don't know if you saw, what was it? The Sunday morning show. The Washington Post columnist who tried to make the case that the news coverage, Scott, of this president is about the same as it was for Trump.
Yeah.
You know, the negative news coverage.
Well, yeah,
it's the same.
Yeah, Dana Milbank from the Washington Post goes out and has the stones to argue that the problem with the media in America today is it just is treating Joe Biden terrible, worse than they ever treated Trump. I mean, imagine the absolute fantasy land you must live in to believe that. A, B, they never actually give the voters any credit. It may just be that the American people look at what's going on in the world and say, gee whiz, I don't like this, and I think the dude's doing a terrible job. Did you ever consider that the results are not what was promised? Because I think that's what comes through in this polling. What stands out to me is the intensity of the 57% of people who say they disapprove of Biden. 46% was strongly disapproved. Of the 41% who support him, only 19% said strongly approve. And so all the intensity on Biden is on the negative side. And if you're a campaign hack like me and you look at those kinds of intensity numbers, you realize just how much of an uphill battle it is to get someone back. So if you think about Biden saying he's going to run again, I mean, if you say today I strongly disapprove of him, what are the odds you're going to come down from that position? You know, probably unlikely.
So is it Anzalone or Anzalone, the Democratic pollster?
Anzalone.
Okay, yep. So he's quoted in the Journal story today saying this. I want to get your response to this, Scott. If it was Labor Day 2022 with these numbers, it's a red warning light. At this point in time, it's really difficult, but guess what? You've got an entire year, and Democrats have the tools in the toolkit to reverse this situation. You do have an entire year. I'm going to say that he's right about that. I don't see the tools in the toolkit. Do you? And I'm happy about that. Don't get me wrong.
No, there's nothing else to do here. I mean, one thing that they've misinterpreted is the public's desire for massive change. Most people just wanted America to get back to the way it was, which is, you know, I can go to work, I can eat at a restaurant, my kids can go back to school, we're not fooling with, you know, just upheaval in our lives. Democrats have interpreted this as a desire for massive societal change, which just doesn't exist. By the way, Biden promised moderate deal-making, bringing the parties together, and essentially make politics boring again. It's been nothing of the sort. And so I don't know what tools he can use other than to just go back to his campaign promises. But I don't know that his party will allow him to do that. And that's why they're in the pickle that they're in today.
So I still hear, I think I hear Schumer and other Democrats saying they think that they can get something to the president by Christmas on Build Back Broker. But where's the path to do that if Sinema and Manchin and even maybe some others are taking a little bit of an approach here where they don't want this spending?
I talked to Senator McConnell about this just the other day, and he made pretty clear. He said, look, this bill will only pass or only be rewritten by Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. And so you can imagine that whatever they would write and pass would not pass muster with the progressives in the House. And so if they decide they want a bill, which I'm not convinced they actually want anything to pass, because I think at least Joe Manchin understands inflation is a major problem. But if they did want to do something in the Senate and pass it, then it's got to get past the squad, and it's got to get past, you know, all these progressives in the House, which that is going to be a problem in and of itself. So I think they're still pretty far away from this, although I did also talk to President Obama's chief advisor, David Axelrod, the other day, who told me that he thought Build Back Better was too big to fail, meaning they've gotten it this far, and at this point it would be so embarrassing to Biden for it to fail that they won't allow it to fail. But the pathway is so unclear, I'd be stunned if something happens by the end of the year. I mean, you know, stranger things have happened, but it would be stunning.
So just out of curiosity, are all these names that you're dropping on me this afternoon because of this stupid podcast that you're doing now?
I know you're mad. You're mad about my podcast because you think that people on a daily basis are saying, should I listen to Mark Reardon today or should I listen to Scott Jennings' podcast? And then, which, by the way, is called Flyover Country with Scott Jennings, available on your favorite podcast.
Promote it. That's fine. But
I don't think anyone is actually making that decision. I think they're just basically gravitating to mine and not really thinking too hard about it. That's what I think is happening.
All right. Well, no, a flyover country. I do want to help you promote it. All right. Are you currently, because we talked about this several years ago, and I know you were doing it on a regular basis, and it was kind of a cool gig, was teaching part-time at the Kennedy School at Harvard. Did that kind of fall apart with the pandemic or not?
No, actually, I taught my class in the fall of 2020 virtually, and funny you should mention it. I've been spending a fair number of hours in the last several days preparing my syllabus for the spring semester, and I'll be back on campus. So I'll be spending most of my Mondays this spring in Cambridge teaching my students in the Kennedy School, and looking forward to doing that. My friend Mark Guerin, who was one of Bill Clinton's communications directors and is the current head of the Institute of Politics there, is going to be one of my co-professors. And then Robbie Mook, who was Hillary Clinton's campaign manager, who's actually currently in the Navy. He's in the Naval Reserves, and he's activated. He'll be back to do some teaching after the spring break in March is over. So we've got a great group, great lineup. It's going to be a great class. And I'm in the throes of academic planning as we speak.
So they do the Harvard Youth Poll at the Kennedy School. They do it twice a year, in the fall and the spring. They've done it for over 20 years on a variety of topics. And they talk to not just Harvard students, but students across the country, 2,109 people. More than half of young Americans feel democracy in this country is under threat. Over a third think they may see a second U.S. Civil War within their lifetimes. Did you see that coming in the Harvard Youth Poll?
Well, I see that coming in some forms, because that's what they're told by the media and by their own political party every day. I mean, if you look at the sort of the apocalyptic messages that come out from the left whenever something doesn't go their way, it's easy to see why people would reached this conclusion. I was watching all the weeping and gnashing of teeth after the Supreme Court arguments. You know, you had Sotomayor on the bench saying the Supreme Court cannot possibly survive if we rule against Roe versus Wade, as if to say this institution, which is enshrined in the Constitution, has operated since the beginning of the Republic, simply will cease to exist if this doesn't go her way. So when you have an entire political movement dedicated to telling people the apocalypse is around every corner, yeah, I can see why the poll found that.
So do you, I'm just curious here about the students. Do you sense when you're teaching that class wokeness amongst the students? Does that ever get brought up, some of these things that we're now talking about in the news?
You know, I don't talk about it that much, truthfully. My class is really about the nuts and bolts of campaign management and the technology and strategic tactics that go into planning a modern campaign, which, by the way, is a language spoken by both Republican and Democratic operatives. So it's not a debating society. I'm sure, like any class at Harvard, there's going to be some students who have, you know, very liberal viewpoints. There's always some students that don't. But I make pretty clear up front, Mark, that this is not a debating society, and I'm not here to change your mind, and I doubt you'll be able to change mine. I am here to teach you about how modern campaigns work. And I always tell the kids at the end of this class, if you listen, you'll be more qualified to discuss modern campaigns on television than 99% of the people who are allowed to do so.
Taking this kind of back to Joe Biden with the poll and just where this country is, not only the youth poll, but the poll in the Wall Street Journal, because there's this recognition. I'm sure you talk to the Democratic insiders. They know this stuff is going on. Publicly, they have to put this face on. You have these staffers leaving the vice president's office. Is this, in December of 2020, their worst nightmare? They could not have thought going in January and throughout this year that this would be that bad. And I don't know how they can get it on track.
You know, I have talked to a number of Democrats who are very worried about the status of their party because there's a leadership vacuum. None of them believe Joe Biden's running again, by the way. That's just, you know, the Biden White House, they have to say that. Nobody believes this guy's running. Everybody knows Harris is a disaster. They don't know who's the future of the party. And so they have a leadership vacuum a year into a presidency. In some ways, Biden's already a lame duck. And so I think some of this was easy to see coming. I think what they are surprised at is just how inept Biden has been. I think there was some belief maybe that he might have things under control more like the way Obama did at some juncture. But that's obviously not the case. And so I think there's dismay. I think there's confusion about who the leader of the party is. And I think there's a lot of question marks about where they're headed because they all know the midterms are going to be a disaster.
Hey, as a CNN guy part-time, any comment about Chris Cuomo? Will you miss him?
No, I don't have any comment about it. I traditionally don't comment on the network's personnel moves, other than to say I happened to be on his last show. I was one of the guests on the last show. We talked about the issue going on between Boebert and Ilhan Omar, who I think that night on his show I said we're spending all of our time discussing the conversations of two of the six worst members of Congress. So this is probably bad for American political affairs.
It's a good trivia question someday. Who were the guests on Chris Cuomo's last show? And Scott Jennings will be amongst them. Isn't it weird? We got to always close with baseball as he's a big Cardinals fan. It's bizarre that, and I reached out to John Rooney today because he's a friend. I called him. I said, you've been scrubbed, but have you been scrubbed enough where you cannot have lunch with me? Because, like, the names are taken down Jennings off the website. It's bizarre.
It's so weird, and it's so bad for the business and bad for the brand of the game, and it's just so weird. Like, I mean, I think most people look at that and say, this is just weird and bizarre, and can't you guys work this out? Everybody just wants to just wants to have a normal baseball season for a change, and you know, we just come out of the pandemic and tried to have one, and now we're in the midst of other weirdness. So I really wish they'd get their act together because most fans like us just want to see the teams construct their lineups. And by the way, we're not that far from spring training. So,
well, we hope not, because I don't think we're going to hear any more news until about spring training. Scott Jennings, always great to have you on. If I don't talk to you, I know we'll be texting everything, but this might be the last appearance. I'm off the week leading up to Christmas. So have a nice Christmas. You going to be in Louisville with the family for Christmas?
I'll be in Louisville with the fam, and if you don't talk to me, you can, of course, hear my voice on my podcast, which I know you'll be anxious to listen to.
remind me the name of the podcast. Remind me the name of the podcast. Is it Flyover
Country?
It's called
Flyover Country with Scott Jennings, and I'm actually hoping to invite you on because I really do want to actually discuss about the media landscape in the middle of America versus the coastal land, the media landscape. And I think you have a great perspective. So if you'd honor me with your presence, I'd love to have you.
Now he's just sucking up because I was making fun of him. Scott Jennings with us tonight, 97.1 FM Talk. Of course I will. Thank you. We'll talk soon.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.